sometimes trusting Him completely can be very, very tough. So each day, we have to make a conscious start to trust God. No matter what comes upon us, we need to stay, what? In God's way, trusting Him. The theme of this morning is going all in. And by going all in, there comes a responsibility that I have by challenging you to be all in, is to show you some ways and examples of how I believe that we are called to be all in. This morning we're going to do this in three sections. The first session is going to be the lesson where I'm going to share seven ways, actions, activities, ideas that are fully based on Scripture as to what it means to be all in. And then I'm going to give you some real-time opportunity to answer a call for action. And after the call for action activity, we're going to have an invitation. And together, all those three things this morning, I hope, will give us a better opportunity to improve our efforts and continue coming together to build quality relationships focused on spiritual development and growing together as we reach those who are in our community. Folks, I want me and you to get out of our comfort zone. I want us to go deeper than ever and be more intentional than ever about working together, learning together, and bringing together people that we can share the good news. We can share our experiences. Our love can be displayed by our actions. I've prayed that today my words are going to be only Spirit-led, and that the efforts that I'm trying to bring to you this morning will honor God. I've asked the Lord to bless us with a renewed energy and willingness to get more involved ever than before on what the Spirit's doing with you in this congregation. You saw a snippet of what God has done in this congregation. You see the dynamic youth growth and development. You see the children's ministry. You are part of a congregation that is loving by showing, not for big deal, but because it's your heart. You are doing things that the Spirit is leading you to do. And we got to do better. Jan touched on it this morning. We got to be more than pew packers and consumers, is the way I put it. Consumerism is out there. Anybody can be a consumer. Being an active participant takes effort, much more than consuming does. God is putting people in our path. He's giving us opportunities like never before on connecting with seekers, those who might not know God like you do. We need to work together to be welcomers of those seekers and be prepared to help those seekers learn what you know. And that's what this morning is all about. For all those who need encouragement, who need prayers, who need a listening ear, you and I are the ones that God has put in front of those folks to help them. There's so many opportunities, and today we're going to talk about why it's important that we accept those opportunities and be about this, going all in. I want to thank Lucas for reading this from Proverbs this morning. I believe those 12 verses are the foundation for this lesson of going all in. It's in your bulletin if you don't be able to read it there. But I want to start this morning's first section by highlighting the underlying words, because I see those words as being the scriptural foundation for going all in. Growth brings opportunities and challenges and changes, and God's help will get us through those challenges and changing. Folks, those seven things that I've highlighted in that scripture, we're going to go deeper this morning and highlight about trusting in the Lord, praying to God, surrendering to God, separating ourselves from evil, stop being all about me, holding yourself accountable, listening to the Holy Spirit, and remembering that we have God. He is with us and He will not fail us, because God's got you and God's got this. Amen? And that's where we're going to go in now to make sure that we at North Tampa are not a business as usual church. We are not a business. We are Christ followers in a family that are trying to be encouragers so no one is left out. We are here for each other where others don't have each other. So let's get into your scripture notes on your sermon notes, and we'll take a walk here. Whether you're a member, a seeker, a visitor, wherever you are online, I want you to grasp these seven guidelines. And then toward the end of the lesson, we're going to do a call for action. Take a look at this color that Sandy brought out. And our guys are going to pass these out, because they're calls for action that are consistent with these seven things. And then we'll close with the invitation. So let's look at the first principle. Trust in the Lord. Do not depend on you or me. This trusting in the Lord is recognizing that we're living in a world where trust must be earned, and it seems to be in short supply. Amen? But Solomon knew that trust was exactly where we must start. You know, most of us have faced disappointments in which have taught us that we can only depend on ourselves. But God's got a different way. He's called us to live, learn, and recognize that we need to put our trust in the Lord. Doing that does what? It says that in Romans 11:33, that God possesses all wisdom on the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So sometimes trusting Him completely can be very, very tough. So each day we have to make a conscious start to trust God. No matter what comes upon us, we need to stay, what? In God's way, trusting Him. Okay, so what happens if I don't feel like doing that? Well, in Proverbs 3:6, we are reminded that we need to go to God in prayer. We need to surrender to God all our thoughts and all our words. And surrendering to God believes I got to start with my mouth, because what's coming out of my mouth is probably founded in my heart. Proof of that surrendering that we're required to do in Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways submit to God, and He will make your path straight. That proof is when we answer, a call to action that comes from our heart and is led by the Spirit. Surrender is more than making a commitment. Surrender is actually fully relying on God. Lisa Hammonds and her ladies group last year did an outstanding job of the ladies' retreat. The theme of it was frog, fully rely on God. And that's consistent with everything that you've seen here and what you're seeing today. And when we pray, we're admitting that God's ways are higher than our ways. We show that we're leaving our troubles and our burdens and dreams in His capable hands. Psalm 55 and verse 17 says we are promised that when we reach out to God in prayer, He will hear us. Evening, mornings, noon, I cry out in distress and He hears my voice. Yes, church, going all in means we allow God to lead us and we depend on Him and we are willing to follow God. We surrender all. The next one. We got to run from evil. Over in 1 John 2, and the verses are 15 through 17, I took it out of the message. Many of you know that's the way I love to take the NIV and put the message right alongside of it, and I usually understand the message. You know, I'm just a dumb country boy, and I enjoy the message. Because in this case, it says, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting, wanting, wanting is out of, way, way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Yes, blessings can come, and they also can be our stumbling blocks when we think, aha, I deserved to get those things. That's a stumbling block. Life works best when we remember the true source of all our blessings come from God. They belong to Him. Amen? Our fourth pillar. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to thee, to you. Matthew where? 6:33. Church, it's always easier to put ourselves first. When something good happens, yippee, we want to congratulate ourselves for that reward. When something bad happens, we want to console ourselves or find someone to blame. In other words, we often have a me-centric. So on your notes, it says, stop being me-centric. It's not about me, and it's not about you. Over in Proverbs 3 and 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will bring over the new wine. This church is phenomenal about giving first fruits. And that is reflective from your heart. Jan nailed it this morning. It's an act of the heart. And yes, there are things that we are doing thanks to you giving your first fruits. And this is not chastisement about not giving. This is a recognition that God's right when He says, give your first fruits. And that's where we are in this walk that we're doing. It's God's anyway, and there's nothing that we can do to outgive God. Amen? Our next principle, hold yourself accountable. Over in Proverbs 3 and 11, we're reminded that we must do that. If we're ever going to be truly trusting in God and fleeing evil, we have to know exactly where we stand. We have to find an objective measure that tells the truth. And that truth comes from the God in His words. Hey, do you have an accountability partner? You got a friend who can call you out? Or do you rely on yourself to call yourself out? Having an accountability partner is not just a phrase. It's an opportunity to grow closer to God. Please do that, because you will be closer to God when you do that. And let's be honest, we aren't so good at evaluating ourselves, are we? We'll go to great lengths to excuse our behavior or our actions and our sins. The prophet Jeremiah over in 17:9 says, "The heart's deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" We are advised to hold ourselves accountable to the Word of God, to follow Him. And what better way than to have someone with us on our journey to help us be reminded, be careful. Not a bad idea. Number 6, listen to the Holy Spirit. Well, Shaq, I don't have any idea what the Holy Spirit sounds like. It's just like faith. We believe in God, although we've never met God. We felt God. We see the impact of God, and that God is part of the Trinity of the Holy Spirit. You can hear the Holy Spirit if you listen, if you watch, and if you seek. Over in John, we read, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said." As we go through our day, the same Holy Spirit guides us. That means we don't have to go it alone and hope we're getting it right. Nope, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And then in 2 Timothy 1:14, "Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." The final guideline is something that I try to live with every day. Even when it's bad, I believe firmly that God's got this, us, you. And that comes right out of 3:12, where Solomon reminds us that God never takes a break, never leaves us, nor forgets us, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in. Even in the midst of turmoil in our world today, where everything seems to go haywire, God is still with you and with me. No longer do we see our setbacks as failures through God. We see them as a moment when God is loving us. He's working on us. All right, that completes section 1. We learned from Proverbs that we trust in the Lord, not yourself. We surrender to God, allowing Him to lead us. We separate ourselves from bad influences and influencers, also known as run from evil. We put God first. We hold ourselves accountable. We find ourselves an accountability partner, and we share. We listen for the Holy Spirit, although we don't know what dialect He's bringing to the table. We know the Holy Spirit is our spiritual compass. And we rest in the love of God, knowing that He's got you and He's got me. Part 2. The call for action. Right now, I'm going to ask our brothers to go ahead and pass out this bright yellow sheet. And while they're doing that, I want us to focus on what I believe Galatians is telling us about this call to action. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance of life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness brings to people and things. We find ourselves in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, being able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. As much as this congregation is doing, there is more to be done. We need to be going all in. On the yellow sheet, and some of you are getting a white sheet because I didn't make enough copies. Sandy, not your fault, dear. There are 12 areas on this sheet. And those 12 areas reflect the things that'll give you a chance to go all in on. What I want you to do is to take just a moment and read through those 12 items on the yellow sheet or the white sheet. Families may take one if you want to. I don't think there's enough for one for every person. This is your call to action, just to validate the fact that there are things that still need to be done that are not getting done around our congregation. The seven pillars that we talked about this morning, those guidelines, are our foundation as to why we need to be all about serving. We don't need to be a church of consumers or non-participants. We need to follow the examples that we covered this morning and try to do a better job of going all in. And in this going all in, I'm asking you to review it. And I realize that many of you are already all in. And I'm not at all criticizing you. I just wanted us to come together and be reminded, as large as we are, God is blessing us with growth more than ever, and we need to be a little more heavy lifting and willing to go all in. There's not an action on here starting with the praying daily or taking time to be in the Word or volunteering that doesn't fit every one of us in this room. Because of the talents that each of you have, there are different things on this sheet that you would be more comfortable going all in on. But there would also be a growth opportunity if you jumped out of your comfort zone and went somewhere where it would be beneficial for you to go spiritually deeper or activity focused. Here's a good example. Ron Moore and Vicki Green are working together with the World Bible School. It is a new start. And I would not check the box as John Shackelford checking the World Bible School. That's not my forte. I'm not asking you to check every box. I'm asking you to make an assessment. Can you pick one or two of those, pray about it, reflect on it, and check the box, and making a commitment or a promise to go all in further than you already are. There's a men's group that's another outgrowth of the men's ministry, where that right now we're focused on recovery, and we want to turn not away from recovery. We want to still be doing that, but we also want to go spiritually deeper with Bible gatherings. And we have young men who are wanting to start that program. And we need interest. We need commitment. we need you to be considering going all in. Every one of those ideas there on that page fit somebody in this audience today. Is it you? I hope you will take this opportunity to not reflect negatively, but find joy in stepping out of your comfort zone and checking the box, making a commitment, not to the elders, not to your fellow brothers and sisters, but to the Lord, that you want to try to do better. You'll notice one of the bullets talks about being a class assistant, not the head teacher, but an assistant. That's intentional, because what we found is folks that'll step up and assist as a teacher have evolved, have grown to be comfortable with the curriculum, and now some of them are teaching. So just put your foot in the water. Just take a test as a class assistant, a test of putting your foot in the water, and try it. The Thursday night men's Bible study that's being planned, think about that one. And then we get really, really practical here. Because of the success and blessings that the Spirit has led with this church, and the way that the web pages have all been improved, and we've had fantastic support by our brother Sid Miles and his company to make this technology advancements that we're doing. Sid, I know you're here this morning, and we love you, brother, and thank you for the work that you're doing. We have the capability now to go worldwide faster than anywhere else. And what comes from that is you have an opportunity to be an evaluator of the website. Make it a daily or a weekly, at least, event. Go look at it. Go online and then send your feedback. Well, this is out of date. This is really good, or this is lousy. Be an evaluator of an online and send us the results. We also want you to take a chance in doing what's called a Google review. And we have, for those of you that check the box, you'll be getting a nice little 3-minute video that tells you how to go online and do a Google review. Well, what does that mean? It means that you are participating. You're not just consuming, but you're participating and reviewing and feeding back what you think about God's work in this place with you in the family. That's not hard, is it? Sending a note, an email, or a personal card to a fellow brother or sister on the prayer list. Renee McLaughlin and Ken have a fabulous ministry called Heart to Heart. If you haven't tried that, it meets once every month, the third Saturday, and they send 50 to 70 cards every week with people volunteering to come in the home and fill out those cards. I found out last week, which is fantastic, if you can't be there, she'll get the package of cards ready and she'll bring them to church and to the building and you can pick them up. Write them from home. Try it. Not only are you bringing blessings to the folks that are receiving them, but believe me, you're being blessed by taking the time to write the card. The elders are always ready to hear from you. If you have ideas, if you have concerns, we are a phone or a text or an email away. We need your help. God's expecting your help. We are family here, and we want you to be a participant more than ever before. Folks, thank you in advance for doing that. And if you feel comfortable enough with what you have in front of you, go ahead and check the box or boxes, and on your way out this morning, there's a couple of baskets on either side. Patty and Linda, in case you're wondering where your stuff is, I took the stuff out, and it's in the drawer in there. But we're going to use those two baskets to be the collectors of these sheets this morning. If you need more time, then take more time. Just give it to one of the elders, and when you get a chance. But there's a sense of urgency. We need you to be all in. God's calling you and expecting you to do that. What are we elders doing that is needing more to be done by us? Tell us what that is. What do you think this congregation, what do you think you need us doing that we're not doing yet? Okay? That's our plea from the leadership. How you receive that is reflective in the way that your heart is calling you to do. This morning, in our last session, I'm inviting you with this invitation. We know that online and here in this audience, there may be some people who have not obeyed the gospel, who've not followed the example of Christ by being immersed, representing Christ's death and his burial and his resurrection. This invitation is for you. We also know that there are unfaithful, sinful Christians. All of us are sinners. All of us need to be repentant and restored. If yours is a public sin and you want to come back to the Lord, the elders are ready to pray over you about that, to come back to your first love, Jesus Christ. We invite all of you who are needing prayers because you're burdened, because you're worried about something, we are ready to pray over you. We invite Christians who want to join all the other believers in placing membership here so we can serve together and grow together. After this service, we're going to meet this morning with a couple who's been attending faithfully here for months. I learned that this couple wants to place membership today. And that's the Lord at work through this couple. They just didn't walk in and say, "Hey, I'm here." They checked us out. The Spirit led them to say, "This is where I want to have home in Christ with this family." And for all the elders that can, right after the amen this morning, let's meet in the office and we'll welcome Bob and Judy Wood. And with that, it's the lesson. It's the call to action. It's the invitation. Whatever the reason, and for you folks online, if this invitation struck you, then make a comment. Give us your point of contact, and we promise that we'll be in touch with you. The invitation is yours as we stand and sing.